Tonight, our Chief Geek Officer Elliot Serrano and Hannah Stanley ride sidecar. Then later, we'll check in with one of our favorite comedians, James Vickery. And finally, it's Friday, so we of course play What's in the Box and get a weekend windup from Rob Martier. All that plus a powerful conversation with author Jennifer Teague coming up on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, Friday, September 9th. It's right now. It's happening for another 50 minutes in Chicago, longer in other places. And it's also raining. Joining me in studio, it's not raining, Elliot Serrano and Hannah Stanley, but it's raining where we can see it all happening.
Hallelujah.
It's raining, man.
See, it's,
hallelujah.
It's
Paul Schaefer wrote that.
I forgot that he did that. Is that a song that's too, like, female power empowerment kind of thing?
It's funny. I was thinking that in my head, and as it got to the hallelujah part, Hannah went, hallelujah.
Because I could read your mind.
You could read my mind again, which is scary.
What's more of a female anthem, that or
I Will Survive?
I Will Survive.
Yeah. My mom would sing that all the time.
First, I was afraid. I was petrified.
Thinking I could never live without you by my side.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong.
But I grew strong. I learned how to get along.
You know it. That's right. And by that time, all women are on the dance floor.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, that's exactly how long it takes us to get from the back table at the wedding reception onto the dance floor.
And Elliot is dancing uncomfortably on the edge, trying to pretend he's like with one of them. And then at that point, all the girls are like, they give me their backs to go, this guy's not with me.
You're like, I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy that you survived.
Yeah,
no. I would help you with that.
Is there a woman that does not identify in some way with that song? 312-981-7200. Is there a woman that just doesn't get why women like that song? Is there 312? Seriously. 981-7200. And men just must really just, okay, this song's out again.
And then if that song, if you don't relate to that song, then is it the Katy Perry song, you know, Roar?
No.
Mm-mm. I like the real Eye of the Tiger song.
Eye of the Tiger.
Mm-hmm. Jim Peterick, Eye of the Tiger. Yeah, that one's good. Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Ooh.
That's always a good one for me.
That's a weird one. My dad really liked that song.
Well, sure.
When I was growing up. For some reason, he liked Only the Lonely.
Aww, that's a sweet song.
Yeah,
Only the Lonely.
I had this strange, again, I mind you, I had two Puerto Rican parents who spoke very little English.
Sure.
So, but they were the songs they were getting into was just some
Bonnie Tyler. Bonnie Tyler. Power ballads really just they span languages.
Oh,
really.
I think so. I'm now Googling female ballads, like power songs.
Right. Well, then Cher had so many of them. Remember, you know, when she went through about her third comeback,
Turn Back Time.
Yeah,
if I could turn back. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I guess that's the one for me.
So again, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there for the women's.
The 10 best. Here's the 10. I just decided to just change gears. Star Trek is going to have to hold on for a minute.
Give me a minute.
Number 10, India Ari video.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that? I don't know what that is.
I don't know the song, but I know her.
Oh, Little Scrubs. No Scrubs, TL by TLC.
That one's a good one.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
All right. Ooh. You're being someone's touch telling you that you're in trouble.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette.
Yeah.
My jam.
Yeah, but that was the angry breakup song.
I think because she's Canadian. I don't know.
Does it bother you that she's Canadian?
No.
Doesn't seem angry enough? How angry can you be? You're from
Canadian.
Canada.
You're going to apologize after this is done.
I actually, anytime there's a list with female power ballads and Loretta Lynn is on that, I like that.
That's her song.
Don't Come Home a Drinkin'.
With Lovin' on Your Mind. Yeah, that's the next line.
What's love got to do?
Yeah, no.
Little Tina Turner, not
my deal.
Mm-mm. All right, then.
No. Maybe for others.
I'm Every Woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shaka Khan. Shaka Khan. Shaka Khan.
It's a good way. Respect.
Wait, I'm Every Woman. Yeah, that was Shaka Khan.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. A little respect from Aretha Franklin. Mm-hmm. I think respect is a good one.
Respect's a really good one.
Helen Reddy.
God,
I have to agree with you. I don't think I Am Woman.
Mm-mm. Hear Me Roar.
Mm-mm.
Whatever.
What's Rebel Girl by Bikini Kill? How's that number one? I don't
have any idea. No. I don't know.
Do you know what that is?
Is this female power ballads? You got to give me the guy power ballads, and then I'll have a better idea of that.
I don't know. Yeah.
I have a feeling that if you play it, I'll be like, oh, yeah, that song. Right.
No, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
How does Beyonce not make that list, by the way?
Oh, Girls, Who Runs the World.
Right?
That's a huge one.
When was that list put together, though?
You know, Beyonce's song I actually like better than Put a Ring on It. should have put a ring on it was the what's the one with the those boxes? If
on
I
on the left to the left.
Everything. Oh yeah, everything you own in the box to the left.
I love
left.
That
yeah.
video. Mm. That, the video. Have you ever seen the video for it?
I have not.
Yeah,
I believe I have.
It's like the really good looking man like walking
and she
out.
Was like,
she's like, yeah.
Move. There's the door. Oh, and I don't need you.
And I even love how in the song she says, you know, I got guys waiting to come over right now. You know, once you're gone, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, no, that is a good one.
Yeah, I love. But now, here's my question though: are there guy ballads or not ballad or like guy power songs?
Oh yeah, there are plenty of those.
What's your guy power song?
My guy power song.
Yeah,
every rose has its thorn.
Oh come on,
a little Bret Michaels action,
a little Bret
for
Michaels,
you.
Yeah,
a little poison.
That's it.
Pour some sugar on me.
Ooh,
you know
that's how is that a power?
It's
ballad?
Not a power.
Because she's pouring sugar on you. If you don't feel power from that, you don't know what
would
will.
It be hot? Is that like a simple syrup? What are we pouring? What kind of liquid state is that
cool.
sugar
it
in?
Has to be cooled.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that the...
No, not always.
Get the candy thermometer.
Oh, you like it hot?
People.
How about a little, you know, a little warm maple syrup?
Okay.
You know? Pour some syrup on me.
I think that would have been a much better song. Craig, do you have a power ballad? No? No power ballads for you?
He's staying out of
Craig
this.
Craig does not want me to sing it.
He said that sounds a little sticky. More after this on 720 WGN. How about that for a ballad? Another One Bites the Dust? Does that work as a guy ballad?
Well, that's like the breakup ballad. That's like, you know, how many times if you, either they dumped you or you dumped them.
But. I remember when I was in grade school, one of my friends was trying out for the cheerleading team, and you had to do like a dance thing, and she was doing it to Another One Bites the Dust, which I guess makes sense for cheerleading for a football team.
Good beat, and it's easy to dance too. Yeah, right. Of course. I give it a 57.
Were you a cheerleader?
No.
Me neither. Well, that's a lie. I was a cheerleader for a year. I know.
No, I wanted to be. I didn't go that way.
I tried out. Yeah. I tried out twice. I did not make it the first time. 7th and 8th grade. I tried out 7th grade. And then they showed me the video like several months later of my tryout. And after I would do something, I would shake my head like I shouldn't have done that. Like I doubted everything I did. And they were like, that's why you didn't make the team. Which was good. I think that was actually helpful.
That was very good feedback.
And of course, in the video, I did have big pigtails.
Pom-poms.
My big...
that too.
My big pigtails.
That too.
And then I cut all my hair off. I don't know why. But anyway, I've been asking over the last few weeks some advice on redoing my house. Okay, first of all, I posted a video of this epoxy floor sort of treatment.
It's so cool.
And it makes your floor look like, it could look like copper or it could just like a real glossy look to it.
Yeah.
Metal.
But you were saying, yes, and you were saying though that you had done your basement with this kind of treatment and the fumes are very strong.
Well, with the treatment that we did with our basement, yes. What you were looking at, actually you can do it yourself.
Okay.
And I priced it out for my garage two, three months ago because it's really, really cool.
Yes.
And it's an epoxy. And so really like in the commercials, they show, you know, big, huge pieces of lumber falling on it. Doesn't chip. You can play hockey on it. All kinds of
right.
different
so
fun things.
Possibly good for the bathroom.
Very possibly, although maybe slippery.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you put grit in it, what's the point?
There's no point.
Can you throw rugs down? Like, put like.
Well, you can.
Well, considering how small my bathroom is.
You could also do like a Tom Cruise across the bathroom floor, which would be not so great.
Very short run.
Yeah, it'd be. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. So what we did was not slippery. It was a treatment because our floor, and this is at my old house. So if the new owner is listening, this is how it happened. But what they did is the contractor did it. We finished our basement. And instead of putting a floor down that in case of flooding or whatever could be damaged, they did this concrete acid treatment and then stained it. But I was very pregnant at the time and left.
Right.
I left for like 3-4 days.
Okay.
Because
just so you would be
really,
around.
Really bad.
Right.
And completely true story, the guy that did it for us has since died of like 3 different types of cancer. So this is like, I can't attribute it directly, but this is something that he did all the time. And
right.
We were like, oh, that's not good. So
I don't know if I want that in my house.
I was going to say.
That's not
well,
a,
by the way,
what you
want to
do is,
I left the house, and the guy who did it died of
cancer. Yeah, no, that's completely true. But I did leave for like 3 or 4 days, and we had the windows open and stuff. I would book a trip. I would like you and the kids and your mom, everybody leave.
Got a pet.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that
Monty's at Elliot's house for a few days.
I would take Monty.
No, because that was, I mean, it is something that is incredibly toxic.
If you have, let's say you have like, you know, the bathroom tiles, would you be able to, it would make it a smooth surface, sort of fill in all the grooves of tile?
With that, with the epoxy, with the smooth one,
yeah,
the shiny, fancy one that you're looking at? I would probably not do that, and here's why. Because the tiles are going to match up exactly with the level floor for the rest of your house. The epoxies are going to build up on that.
Can't open the door.
Right.
That would be a problem.
There would be some drippage.
Yeah, I think that would be a problem.
Yeah, because you would need to build up a barrier so that it wouldn't like spill out. And there's
this seems like
thing.
More of a basement thing.
It would be a basement thing, a very much a garage thing, mm-hmm. where you're going to be doing a lot more work.
I love that.
And
yeah.
And
also
things.
You have the door open and just let it air out too.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
I like that. The other thing I wanted to ask you about are, have you seen these online designer apps like Havnly? And there's a couple of like Home Polish. There are apps that people that apparently you can get someone, you get pictures of your apartment or your house or whatever, and they help you with sort of the last of just doing all the elements of your home and like what to buy.
Okay, that's,
have you seen any of these?
I have heard of these. I have not used them because mm-hmm. I'm afraid.
Afraid of what?
The money I will spend.
Because I think it's like, it's to do a certain job. Like they do it by, you know, if you just want to do the finishing touches, it's like $75 consulting.
Still too much for me.
And then $200, I think,
I'm
for
poor.
Like from the bottom up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. And that actually is not bad considering how much designers actually make.
Right.
Craig and I were actually on the boat trip yesterday talking about your bathroom project mm-hmm. and how I've been actually studying how to pretend to be a designer.
Okay.
So that when
you
I
might
come to
design
your house,
my house.
Yeah. So I can
be a lot of cleaning that has to happen.
What I've learned is that they never say you should do this. They say what I would suggest is I propose.
Right.
This color palette. And so I'm just going to come and pretend to do that.
Well, the thing about my bathroom is I actually want exactly I want the walls. I have blue towels. I have royal blue towels.
So they need to match that?
Well, I would like to maintain a similar color palette, just not the floor. Okay. Here's the thing
so
about
nautical.
That floor.
So we're going very nautical.
Yes, it is blue and white.
Okay.
And I would say that's a cobalt blue on my towels.
City Royals?
No. Just,
okay.
Yeah, just it is blue, out. White, and cobalt. Except the floor is sort of this beige brown that I hate. When we were picking out, I just hate it so very, very much. Uh-huh. This was the first, like, I just gave in. I was like, Steve was he was so convinced that this neutral beige floor would go with everything.
Beige land.
Oh, and you have no, Elliot, he was like, no, what we'll do is because the walls are this really nice sky blue that I love. I painted Steve and I painted the bathroom, the hall. We actually painted our entire house. Everything is painted by us. But we picked out this blue. It's very bright. I like our shower curtain. It's very happy.
It's a happy color.
And, but then he goes, well, here's what we'll do. We'll buy dark brown. Towels to go with this. It was awful. It was so stupid.
It's so weird.
It made
that
me sad.
Bleach accident happened.
But there is something so to odd. Things kind of making you sad in your house
yep.
that is hard to explain to men. I think.
Some,
not all men.
No,
some men
get it, but definitely there's energy and there's. I've actually this is a neat thing. Pantone is the company that. Gives numbers to each color. It's called a Pantone matching system. Mm-hmm. And so I got to interview the woman who's in charge of all the colors for Pantone, and it was the coolest interview. But she and I actually off air were talking about how color has energy and
yes.
how it's like vibrations. And so it can, in fact, make you feel happy, sad, melancholy.
Brown does
lazy.
Not make me happy.
And it for some, especially men, it's soothing, it's warm, it's masculine.
I can see that. That's
and true. So that's why there's a lot of like, you know, leather in club chairs mm-hmm. and things. It's very sexy man.
Aggressive.
Right.
Yes.
Powerful. It's a bear. And for women, it's very, you know, depending on our mood, we might want red. We might want something, you know, more delicate.
My bedroom is a pumpkin orange, which I find with sort of a cream accents, I find is good for doing my makeup for some reason.
Really?
It's warm, like it's a warm tone. Yes. I love my pumpkin. No, we tried so many different colors in that room. We painted it so many times.
Well, that's all right. I'm on color number 3 in my master bathroom within 3 or 4 days.
Oh, I can see that. We painted our walls so many times, I was convinced the room was getting smaller. I was like, this is too much paint.
There's a comedian, and I'll have to look up who it is, but he made up paint samples with fake paint names and put them in a paint sample store. And there's a bright orange called Living Room. No, don't do it. No.
We had at one point, there was a calamine pink. I call it calamine lotion pink. It was like this pink that I kind of liked. And so that we had like this alcove where our bed is. And then the rest of the bedroom, we had like, it was weird. It was very masculine than female. So the rest of the room was like army green and it was bad. It was green is not an easy color to get right.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's, yeah, we did like all different shades of green.
Example A, my master bathroom.
Oh, yeah, it's brutal. Good. Is that what it is? You're doing all shades of green?
No, I wanted to. And then we couldn't because it's like, it's soothing. That's why they call it a green room, even though none of them are green.
Have you tried like a really bright, like my kitchen color I love. It's like this bright, almost like margarita green, like a lime. I can't explain it. But
yeah, no, that wouldn't work because of the existing fixtures that are there because they're very expensive to replace. And heavy.
Elliot looks like he's just like, I'm not gonna. You know what? We will do
Elliot's
Star Trek
here.
After the news.
Elliot
I promise.
Is here. I didn't.
Hi,
I
Elliot.
Didn't realize that.
Elliot. Okay, we'll wipe the slate.
No, we're doing grege. Grege is my favorite color.
I'm sorry. What?
Oh, it's the best color in the world.
Grege.
Grege.
Rob Martier. Grege.
Gray
is
beige.
Is that like a gray beige?
Yes, it is the best because you can. It's warm. It's soothing. You can go either way with
fabulous.
It.
It's
fabulous. It sounds like my bathroom floor.
Isn't
that, Elliot, next time you come over, take a look at my bathroom floor.
I wish I had painted my nails. I have grayish nail polish and I don't have it with me.
I wanted to make my kitchen red. I wanted red with black and white floor tiles, like the 1950s like kind of diner look.
Super cute.
Cool.
Right?
Don't
do the walls that color, though. It's very aggressive and people fight more in red rooms.
Have you met me? More after this on 720 WGN. This seems appropriate for breaking. Can I make this breaking news music for you? Is this...
Close enough.
Does that work for you? Elliot, I know we were going to talk about Star Trek, but... Something happened during
the news.
This
is part of the new frontier. Next frontier? I don't know.
We were talking about Starbucks, and Hannah mentioned her disdain for the fact that Starbucks does not carry almond milk.
Rude.
I was just there about an hour ago, and I asked for almond milk, and they said, in a couple days. And this was.
I asked Martier to break into the news. That's not a lie.
He said he would not do that.
Rude.
This seems like end of the world music. I should find something else too.
Yeah, you know what
happier.
It is? It's the end of the soy
is this
world.
Is this better? No.
That's very basic. I mean, that's so basic.
I've got a feeling that tonight's gonna be. Oh yeah, Heart and Soul. That's nice. Huey Lewis, the news. True story.
It's
I am
news.
In a Huey Lewis in the news video.
What?
Oh yeah, that's a thing.
How's that? Like where?
In the background.
Right. Which song?
They did a soundstage at WTTW over by there on the north side.
Right. On St. Louis, I believe. Yeah.
Yes, on St. Louis, and I'm on the scaffolding dancing. And for like a whole
that sounds dangerous.
Documentary.
I'm glad that you're okay.
Yeah, I had to have a beehive hairdo because it was a whole throwback thing. So yeah, four chords and several years ago is the name of the soundstage documentary and album.
I love
and
that.
And I'm dancing.
Well, we are celebrating because they're going to have almond milk. It was actually announced earlier in August that starting September 6th, Starbucks almond milk will be available in more than 4,600 stores. As an alternative to soy milk and coconut milk. And initially, it'll be available in company-operated and licensed stores in the Pacific Northwest. This is why it's not come to us yet.
Typical.
Northern California, New York.
Get everything.
Northeast and Mid-Atlantic regions, kicking off a nationwide rollout.
Sweet Lord, baby Jesus, I am happy.
That will be completed by the end of September.
Yeah, it will. That's awesome.
There you go.
They
created their
day.
Own almond milk recipe, just so you know.
Their soy milk is their own.
So I didn't know that. What
will they be charging extra for it is my question.
Duh.
Like they do for the coconut milk,
and
which
the soy
is
milk.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, they. I'm sure they will.
It's like, why? I remember being, I'm sorry, but the guy convinced me, oh, this coconut milk here, it's sourced from the Fiji Islands or something like that. I don't
here,
know.
Here, this is what it is. The almond butter in our almond milk adds body and complements the roasty notes of espresso. That's what they're saying.
Duh.
And it will cost you 60 cents extra.
Right, of course.
And I'm going to see him pull that carton of stuff out from under the counter, and I'm going to go, that's what I'm paying for?
Yes.
But I only ever want a splash. So if I want a splash, why do I? Okay.
Well, gold members didn't used to have to pay. So I don't know if that's still a thing.
It's a gold member.
If you have your gold card.
I'm a gold member. And
you still pay? Yeah, I think they changed that. For a while, you didn't have to pay for your little fancy upgrades for those of us who are lactose intolerant or just trying to watch our fat content.
All right, then. Elliot, you are sitting in the Star Trek chair in our studio. It's always been the Captain Kirk chair. I saw you post. I love that you posted the photo of Lucille Ball with a script of Star Trek because it is, in fact, to her credit that show exists at all, because she owned the entire RKO collection of properties, really.
She it was Desilu Productions, and they're the ones who were who financed the two pilots that were done of Star Trek. The first one they did. It didn't go over very well with the NBC execs. They said, nope, not going to do it. Gene Roddenberry said, well, we'll do another one. We'll change it out. The second one, which introduced William Shatner as Captain Kirk. And it cost money. But Lucille Ball believed in it enough to finance it. And they did it. And next thing you know, history is made.
Such a savvy businesswoman. I mean, to create her own production company.
Oh, yeah.
And to have the foresight.
At that point in time. Yeah, that was, and go through a divorce, and I mean, yeah, it was. She was really
that would be later, mind you. But yes. There was a lot of it that you're right.
A lot of groundbreaking,
mm-hmm. But that was stuff they did things that they didn't realize. The whole thing with the setup on the I Love Lucy, the number of cameras that they use. It was one of their first shows to use the multi-camera setup. Why? And Desi Arnaz said it. It was because he'd never realized it, but everyone looked at him, you know, what do you want us to do? And he said, okay, well, put a camera here, put a camera there and there. And they went, really? I went, yeah, why not? And they're
getting multi-camera?
Who knew that was weird? Yeah. He didn't know that was weird.
He didn't know it was weird because he went in not knowing, and bam, they set that up. The fact that the studio didn't want any of the film from the I Love Lucy show, that they didn't care. They didn't want to have to store it. So Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz said, okay, we'll keep all of it. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Arnaz Ball family never has to work again for their entire lives, because they own all the material that's in syndication now. So it's
amazing.
It's groundbreaking. So then helping Star Trek keep going, starting it off, and now 50 years later, we're celebrating we just celebrated the airing of the first episode.
I don't know
Thursday.
If we all did, but yes, that's a thing. That
America
happened.
Did. Yeah. America. If you're not an American, you know.
No, but especially with it being so far out of her own genre of expertise and comfort, even for her to believe so strongly in the project, is really revolutionary and fascinating.
Well, what I learned briefly, we had the rights to sort of the encyclopedias of Star Trek. We were trying to create a show that would be kind of like the Mad Men of Star Trek, kind of like all behind the scenes activity, because there was a lot of great, you know, stuff behind the scenes with the writers and the director and the creator. But one of the things I learned was, and I think a lot of people already know this, is the number of advances in technology that were inspired by Star Trek. Like automatic opening doors with motion sensors. But there's a whole list of things.
Cellular phones were inspired by that.
Right.
NASA has been releasing a series of videos throughout the week talking about the things that were inspired by Star Trek. The way monitors and propulsion systems, all things that were inspired by the show. And even going into Star Trek The Next Generation later on, a lot of stuff was inspired by the things that they created on the shows.
The banana clips that we used to wear in our hair.
Geordi's.
Yes.
Yeah.
The food replicator. I did not realize that would be, because there are now machines that actually can print food,
3D printers.
Like, yeah.
The MakerBot Replicator 2 are adept at making small objects, and they can do that next generation.
Mm-hmm. So, again, you know, and that's the thing, the great thing about, well, science fiction in general is how much it inspires innovation. You have, you know, even H.G. Wells came up with the idea of rockets, mm-hmm. you know, long before we even had that technology. So that's a role that science fiction has always played. The great thing about Star Trek is that it brought science fiction concepts to the, you know, to a mass audience through television. And the thing about with the production of Star Trek is that you had some of the names in science fiction working on the show. Harlan Ellison did one of the most celebrated Star Trek episodes called City on the Edge of Forever. With a very young Joan Collins.
Ooh.
Yeah, very young Joan Collins.
She's a fascinating woman, by the way.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, she's
gorgeous.
Continues to be.
Yeah. And but it's the episode where Captain Kirk has to decide whether the future is worth sacrificing for a woman he loves.
I've actually seen that episode.
Yeah, it's a great episode.
Yes.
I have not.
And
That's literally it for me.
I think I've seen Tribbles. Tribbles?
The Trouble with Tribbles.
Trouble with Tribbles.
Yeah. I interviewed the writer of that episode last week, and I posted it on my blog, David Gerald. And he talked a bit about the Star Trek anniversary and how much it's meant to people over the decades and even young fans. So you can see that interview on my blog at geektome.net, where not only did I talk to David Gerald, but I also posted a link to my blog, to my podcast, where we talk about how you get paid in the future. You know,
what?
You ever wonder, they don't have credit cards or money in the Star Trek universe.
Just scanned. They get scanned.
You just I don't know.
You have a universal account.
That's why I have my Apple Watch. That's the future of payment.
Have you used that as a payment device?
No.
Right?
No. I my friend does all the time.
Yeah.
Apple
that's
Pay.
His thing. He just Apple
Pay.
Pays with his watch.
Are you someone that's willing to give over to the technology of everything? I'm not even close to being a Luddite, but I mean, I kind of feel like I just go with the role and go, okay, I guess this is happening now.
Some things I really have to research, and this is one of them. To figure out how to work, how it like doesn't just automatically charge. I don't know. I'm not comfortable with it yet.
Well, did you do that when you went to Disney World? They had the little bands.
Oh, yeah, the magic bands.
The magic bands.
It tracks you everywhere you go.
Everywhere you go in the park, and then if you wanted to buy something, mm-hmm. you just scanned it, and you got the bill at the end of the day at your room.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing. And you know what was weird about that? My bill was not as high as I thought it was going to be because I felt like I was scanning everything. I was surprised that it wasn't because I just had this idea that it was going to be outrageous. And I was like,
$52,000.
That's what I was afraid of. That's what I was afraid
of. If you
afraid
think
of.
That way and then the bill comes, you're like happy.
You're right. Set your expectations high. Mm-hmm. Everything else is better. More after this on 720 WGN. I was Patty Vasquez live on a Friday night on Michigan Avenue in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by geektome.net's our chief geek officer, Elliot Serrano, and our very own Hannah Stanley. Hostess extraordinaire. Mom planning a party, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When is the party?
Sunday.
Sunday.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
How many people are invited?
Invited, probably 30 plus. Coming is going to be 20.
Do you think you've gotten all of your RSVPs, your regrets, and I'm coming?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. My sister just had to cancel.
Oh.
But she's in Ohio, so that's okay. And that's literally, it's a third of the party. Because she's got five kids. And so I'm like, well, that saves on food costs.
And what kind of food are we having?
Let me back it up. It's a Merida themed party. It's Brave, Disney Brave.
Okay.
That is Preston's favorite princess, which I cannot endorse enough because she's
Scottish.
She's Scottish.
And a badass.
Wait, you're going to have haggis at this thing?
We are not.
Oh.
We are not having haggis. If you know what haggis is, you understand why.
Mm-hmm. Just intestines.
Are you going to turn into a bear?
I'm planning on it. But no, we are serving barbecue.
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 You're going to eat the mother?
Well done.
And she was the mother was
Mordu,
a bear. We're
eating Mordu. No, and Macintosh and cheese. So.
Was it worth that pun? Really?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. She's turning six. Puns are everything.
And how about the costumes and such?
Preston is being dressed up completely as Merida. Mm-hmm. That's completely a thing that's happening. Mm-hmm. I just made Grayson a t-shirt that is blue like the Scottish flag that has arrows that are crossed. And so it actually kind of looks like the Scottish flag. There is, and I'm really debating this because it is on September 11th. We will be flying the Scottish flag outside the house, and we are having Highland Games. I made it. It's a whole thing.
Oh, is it Highland Games where you like flip logs?
Yeah, there's a caber toss.
That's
going to happen.
What are some of the other? Isn't there log rolling?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. There will be a tiny little putt putt area because it's the official game of Scotland.
Yes, it is.
Even though that's not really a Highland game.
That's
all right. So I make it
Scottish.
We're also playing cornhole, which I don't know how you say it in Scottish, but that's what we're playing.
All right, then.
Cornhole.
And what are the holes decorated as?
Right now, because we borrowed this set, it's a Cubs thing, but it's going to be maybe Mick Cubs. I'm not sure exactly.
I like that.
I think.
Is it Mac Cubs?
Mac Cubs. Yes, Mac Cubs. That would be. Yeah.
I apologize. I didn't mean to do that. That was condescending, and I apologize.
Why?
Because I corrected you. It was weird.
No, but
I felt bad. I wanted to take it back the moment I did it.
No, I don't.
Now I see what I did. When you make a mistake, don't call attention to it.
Yeah, don't shake your head when you're trying out for
cheerleading.
So there's I'm dividing people into clans, and there's a lot of.
And here come the wars.
Oh yeah, somebody suggested that my husband go into full Braveheart makeup, and so that might be happening. He doesn't know that though. I hope he's sleeping.
Are you going to have like the King of Britain come in and like invade?
And then are you going to quarter him later after the kids go to bed? Have him drawn and quartered.
No.
I just on a table. He's like stretched out.
No, but I did tell people that kilts were encouraged but not required.
Oh, we have kilts.
I figured as
much. My whole family has
kilts.
I
might have to be driving up there.
The tilted kilt's going
to
be there?
Mm-hmm. That's not really the thing.
Why am I getting a text from Representative, former Representative John Anthony just texted me. Hello, Representative.
Is he coming? To the party?
He might be coming to the party.
I don't know.
Maybe he's of Scottish descent as well.
Anderson?
Anthony.
Oh, yeah, that might be.
Will there be pizza rolls? Are you making pizza rolls?
No, but I actually am thinking about
Scottishing up everything else.
I'm making pizzas that look like a Target pepperoni and a fruit plate that is like a Target. Yeah, there's a whole thing. And actually, I'm making little cupcakes. Welcome to Party Planning with Hannah. I'm making little cupcakes.
Intense.
And then I'm borrowing a friend, Cammie Can, the little girl who's in the Duncan Keith What's Your Goal commercial. Cammie, she's the best. Her mom, they have a cotton candy machine they're letting me borrow. And so I'm making blue cotton candy wisps.
That is fun to do. It's addictive. Not just the candy, but making it. I did it at a carnival one time. I couldn't stop.
Of course you did.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Loved it.
So I'm doing those on top of the cupcakes because those represent the wisps.
Yes.
Because they lead you to your destiny.
Wait.
There's so many elements to this party.
It's ridiculous. Layers. I have been planning this for like almost a year in my brain.
What time are these kids coming over here?
11.
Okay.
There's actually not as many kids as you would think.
Because you are sending them home hyped up.
No, I'm sending the grown-ups home hyped up. They're all going to be taking naps by 3.
So cotton candy, cupcakes.
Seriously, there's like 5 kids. I know.
Because
again, my sister's not coming.
Did you see the little girl who became a meme after getting cotton candy at a Seattle Mariners game? Okay. You're going to be sending all these kids home like that. Because you said blue cotton candy,
blue.
Too.
Yeah, that's some serious food coloring.
That's going to be... You sure? Did the parents sign a waiver?
Yeah.
Is my question.
No, but this might be why my sister's not coming into town.
Right. She started getting the menu.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got the Wisps cupcakes.
Yep.
You've got the cotton candy.
Yeah.
What's the... you said you have the barbecue.
Barbecue. Sure.
They're going to barbecue a bear.
Barbecue.
Barbecue. That's how they would say it in Scotland.
Barbecue.
That's an accent I will never try. Go ahead.
Wee bairn.
There you go.
Wee bairn.
My wee lassie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
When did this happen? Not just specifically Hannah, but the upping of
Hannah happened a long time ago.
When did the upping of the themed parties? Did you ever go to a themed party when you were a kid?
No, and that's the thing that really got me is that I always wanted a themed party.
Did you have friends that had themed parties?
They had great parties, but it was like it wouldn't be till later. You know, what was the biggest theme that you got? The themed cake, right?
Right.
That would be the most you had.
And maybe the decorations
would
resemble.
And the decorations were a bit, but we're talking now these days you go all out.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that.
Oh, did I mention I'm making a plaid thing on the ceiling with cray paper streamers?
Nice.
Oh, And I downloaded the entire Brave soundtrack, and that's going to be playing on the outdoor speakers. Yeah, that's a thing.
Brave.
All right, neighbors,
oh, not Brave,
get
Park.
Ready.
Brave.
That's happening. More after this on 720 WGN. Oh, we are just settling back into our seats. I want to say, Sean can't hear us anymore. There's a fan on Michigan Avenue who went to go to see me perform at Zany's. Unfortunately, I wasn't at Zany's tonight. I was at the Annoyance Theater participating in a stage reading of The Lost Pilots of Mark Roberts. And thank you, Mark Roberts, for inviting me to do that. It was a lot of fun. And really great actors on stage. Tim Kazurinsky, Mike Toomey. A lot of people I've seen around town that I'd never had the opportunity to work with, so it was a lot of fun. Elliot Serrano joins us, our chief geek officer. You can go to geektome.net to read all the fabulous. James Vickery and Elliot, have you two been on the show together yet?
We were once.
Yeah, we were
way,
once.
Way back when.
Yep.
Back in the day.
And late then many 80s. Other adventures later. Mm-hmm. Not on the air.
No.
Yes.
By the way, James, did you get that thing looked at from
okay.
That
time? Right, also joining show. Us is Howls and Hood's bartender extraordinaire, Nick, who's a papa for the second time recently. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Exciting. It's very exciting. How is the second time around? Like, as far as, I mean, I know, but from the dad's point of view, I've never really asked my husband what it was like to, because you guys were, it seemed like you were ready to go at any moment. Was she past her due date?
Yeah, 10 days.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wow. 2 weeks, so yeah. I know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they induced her, and she's about an hour pushing, and
see?
Got him out of there. And,
got him out of there. No. I like how guys describe things. Got him out.
It's like a plumber talking.
Get him out of there.
Was it, so it was a shorter labor this time than the last?
Actually, well, no, Jordan was on the fly. She actually broke her water in the parking garage. I had to run her down Lakeshore Drive,
wow.
And that was 45 minutes, so she couldn't beat her old record, but
wow.
Still got number two out in an hour, so.
And the baby's name? Just the first name? We don't have to go
Elway.
L? So a bit of a football fan, are you?
Yeah, a little
bit. Or Blues
bit.
Brothers.
But actually,
or no, it's Elwood.
Jordan, yeah. Jordan named Elway. So we were talking about names. We were shooting back and forth, and I threw Elway out there, and all of a sudden Jordan goes, he's 18 months old, he goes, Elway, and just starts repeating his name, and I'm, you know, playing with the bassinet and getting things ready, and he's like, Elway. So it well, kind of stuck, you know.
Oh,
so,
I love that.
Yeah, yeah, at that point it would be hard to say, no, we're not going
to. No, you will not name your father.
So exciting. Yeah, and is the baby sleeping in your room? Like, yeah. In the bassinet next to
yeah.
the bed?
Yep, sleeping. Better than Jordy, too, you know, about 4 hours.
I wouldn't say that out loud too many times.
I know,
one,
I know.
One, you don't want to rub that into other parents.
I'll take that back.
Yeah, take that back. So congratulations. And
thank
this cocktail you,
so you
brought for us, I think that Rob Martier is going to enjoy this significantly.
Yeah, but tell, one for him up there.
Tell us a little bit about this drink that you've put before me.
Blue agave. So it's a jalapeno cranberry margarita, blue agave and Don Julio. And it's something we're going to put on the new menu. And everyone here that tries it. And come up with a name, and we're going to vote at the restaurant. Mm. And someone here is going to name our new cocktail.
This crazy.
Let's call it
exciting.
The Anchorman.
Anchorman.
Done.
I think Sizzle Pants is good.
I think the James the James Vickery.
The James.
It has a nice ring to
good.
It.
Elliot?
The Kobayashi Maru.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. or you know what? We could just go with just the Vickery.
The Vickery.
Ooh.
That sounds Vickery. Very, very highbrow.
I think the Vickery would have more of a sort of a scotch base.
I do
it.
Think. Yeah, you're right.
Don't you think?
Bourbon, yeah. Scotch thing.
I don't know why we all think that. So we have everybody gathered, I think.
I have to think about it for a minute. I have to.
So I think well, it's,
you know, let me have five or six of them. And
yeah,
gonna...
at least.
It's gonna be, and all of a sudden, James's microphone was off, and we don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, right.
He's just cuddling with his drink.
And he's sleeping. No.
We are ready to play What's in the Box. I decided to change it up a little bit because coming up at 1 a.m., we have a guest who has done her ancestry and found out some really startling things, and I wanted to put a little distance between adult toys and her remarkable story. So 312-981-7200, Craig, if you get chance, could you fire up, please, our What's in the Box? Any one of the great versions. There we go. I like that one. The original.
This is the original?
I think it is. I could be wrong. It's the one that I recognize.
It's good.
Little boxes all the same. There's a pink one.
So 312-981-7200. We are firing up all of our paperwork to get started with What's in the Box. 312-981-7200. And you will win a prize either way. No one goes away a loser at all. Unless you really need to know where these reviews came from. Some people want to know what's that from. not just what's in the box. I've had people say, can you just tell me what that was? And some of them I remember. Some of them I know exactly what it is. But I really need to keep better track, better bookkeeping for our listeners. So one of you will win a gift card to Lou Malnati's, to one of the over 40 locations in the Chicagoland area. Everyone can go to loumalnati's.com to get some of the best pizza you can find anywhere.
Truly.
Yeah, oh, so good. I know what your favorite is, but we'll talk about that like later with some distance.
Yes.
And a gift card from Apt Electronics is also in the mix. So 312-981-7200 is time to play What's in the Box. We have Dave on the line who is waiting for a challenger, and there goes the phone line right there. Roger, good to see you again. Sorry I haven't had a chance to say hello. And I know, sorry. He's like, wait. Have you got your reviews ready to go as well?
Why, yes, I do.
I see that you didn't get very much sleep last night.
I didn't get very much sleep for the last week or so. But
I know. It's been a rough week.
Yeah, but
it's good to see you.
Everything's doing good.
Good.
Good to be seen. Thank you.
Very good, sir. And we do. We have two contestants. Ooh, we have two guys on the line.
Oh.
And we have all guys reading reviews.
Oh, yeah, we sure do.
This is going to be...
I'm not so sure. I'm not keen on this ratio here. You know? I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that, but you know.
I understand.
It's going to be guys reading reviews.
Let's get Dave on the line, who's been on hold for a little bit. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Geneva.
Oh, from Geneva. Excellent. I love the antique stores around there, by the way. They do. They love the antique stores.
It's a nice little town.
It is a great little town. Have you heard us play What's in the Box before?
I have, yes.
Excellent. So you are already familiar with the rules and regulations. There's not really any rules. It's just a silly game. Sean, how are you doing?
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Sean. Fine.
Sean,
you're calling from?
You're calling from right outside the studio. Are you going to play What's in the Box?
Why not?
This is great.
Yeah. It's awesome. WGN first.
He has a good signal. You know,
he has
reception.
A very good signal. It's going to be weird to him because it's going to be on a little bit of a delay. Everyone cover your work so Sean cannot see.
There's no cheating.
Sean's calling from Michigan Avenue. He's right here in front of the studio. Again, Sean, I apologize that I was not at Zany's tonight.
I met him at Zany's tonight.
Yeah. That's right. Very fun show. So Sean's, I'm guessing you have heard us play What's in the Box.
I have listened to it all the time.
Excellent. So those of you who are not familiar with this wonderful game that was a collaboration of several people, including myself, Dr. Charles Turk, and Todd Manley, we decided to collect some reviews from various websites that, pertain to perhaps an appliance or an adult toy. And your task is to tell us which it is. So just say toy or appliance, and we are going to start with Dave. All right. And Elliot's going to read for you first.
All right, Dave, you ready?
I am ready.
All right. I'm this one, I'm just going to, hold on. I'm reading these as they're written, so I'm not putting anything on it, but here we go. All right. Really nice. Silky smooth. Oh. Easy to adjust speeds.
What do you think, Dave?
I'm going to say... appliance.
That is correct.
Ooh.
Yes. Boy, Dave.
Appliance. Ding, ding.
Fast
ding,
out
ding,
of the ding, box. Ding,
ding. Yeah. There we go. Dave's got the first one on the board. Roger, will you please read for our guest, Sean? See, that's what I'm going to do. I can have Roger read for Sean so he can't even, see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No,
hey,
Roger's
hey
on the
Sean,
seventh.
Look at all these, huh? You can't see this.
Some trickery.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to hear Yoda.
Yoda soon.
Okay, we'll get Yoda.
We have a request now.
We'll
all right. Roger will read for Sean, who
all
is
right.
outside the showcase studio.
All right, Sean, here we go. I'm sure you'll get this right away. Lacks the variety of flexible features found on other models.
Oh, that was succinct.
Everything's always a switch, so I'll go with toy.
Yeah, it would be an appliance.
Oh man.
Wait a minute. Can you see through the paper? No, I didn't think so.
All right, James Vickery will read for Dave, who has one on the board.
All right, Dave. I like what the unit does. I do find it to be a heavy-duty unit. My only complaint is that it's not easy or quick to open and reseal to resume use. This can become a bit more challenging as your hands get dirty.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, boy. I don't know about that one. Gosh. I'm going to go with... Once again,
I'll go with appliance.
It is an appliance. Ooh. Nice work.
Almost thankfully.
Holy cow.
Yes. Yeah, really. Please. Otherwise, I was about to do some major research.
Oh, man. All right. Indeed. Come on. Rob, you're going to read for Sean.
All right, Sean. Right, you ready, big guy? Here we go.
I'm down 0-2 already, right?
Yep.
Pros: look sleek. Sits firmly upright. Headlight is truly awesome. Con: heavy to hold for that long. Meh.
I like the meh.
It actually says meh.
Meh.
I'm guessing it's an upright vacuum.
Oh. Ooh.
I don't know if it's a vacuum, that's but it is an appliance. So good on you, man.
There you go.
Attaboy. Bonus point.
Attaboy.
Oh, the game is now 2-1. No, there are no vacuums that were reviewed. I believe that would be a hand mixer.
Is that an appliance or a hand mixer?
Oh, that's a good point. That's a very good point. All right. Nick of Howls and Hood fame, please read for Dave, who is ahead by one.
Okay, Dave, you ready?
I am.
Okay. Love it. Nice and quiet, as well as powerful.
Ooh. What do you think, Dave?
It's a lot of nice and quiet and powerful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to break the trend this time, and I'm going to say toy.
Ooh.
It's an appliance.
Oh. I was with you on that, Dave. I was with you.
I would have guessed toy, yeah.
Because quiet seems to be a thing.
It does. Quiet. Oh, quiet. It is.
Yeah,
it is.
You don't want to cause a much bunch of attention.
No. Although
yeah.
I have a blender where I like my husband starts saying something and I turn it on. I'm like, I'm so sorry, I can't hear you.
The hair dryer works too.
The hair dryer is handy for that. All right, Elliot, you are reading for Sean.
All right,
let's
Sean.
See if we can tie it up here.
Okay, Sean.
Yeah.
You want a Yoda, right?
Yeah.
All right. This one, I think this one will be work best as Yoda. All right.
Here we go.
Glasses come off.
Yeah. I have owned many of these in my 76 years of life. The best one yet, this one is.
I'm going with toy. It's got to be a toy.
Incorrect, you are.
Oh.
An appliance it is.
Oh.
Sorry.
All right. Oh, still a tight game. It is a very tight game. Let's take a break and reset everyone so we can get our wits about us, be ready for the next round as we play What's in the Box with Dave and Sean. Dave is ahead 2-1. They are competing for a gift card from Lou Malnati's or Apt Electronics. Go to loumalnati's.com to order your pizza. You can have it shipped anywhere in the United States. You could also stop by and grab yourself a pie. Ooh, see what I did there? And Apt Electronics, go to aptelectronics.com. Or you can go in-store and say hi to Steve Shapiro, who always takes care of us. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I am joined by our chief geek officer, Elliot Serrano. Go to geektome.net for all things that are Elliot and geeky.
And Star Trek.
James Vickery, who is appearing at Zanies the rest of this weekend through Sunday. Go to zanies.com for ticket information. I will be there Sunday night and Saturday night. He's okay. He's cool. We have to let the security guy know that he's okay to be out.
He's playing a game.
Yeah, he's good. He's cool.
He's about to get chased away.
Yeah, he's about to get chased away. We're good. You want to give him the phone? Give him the phone real quick. Yeah, there you go. Hold on a second. Now it's going to take a couple seconds to tell him, hey, Craig, they're on delay outside. We're good. He's playing a game right now. Yeah, he's covered. Thank you. The security guard did not say hello. Did you notice that? He did not chime in. We have on the line with us Dave. Oh, hold on a second. Oh, that's right, because they were offline. So we have Dave on the line. We have Sean on the line. We are live on the air playing What's in the Box with Rob Martier, our newsman, Nick Summers, the bartender extraordinaire from Howls and Hood, who we're trying to get him to name his new drink What's in the Box. I think that's a
potentially.
Great,
yeah.
Potentially.
I like it.
You like it?
I like that name.
Right. Our game is it's very close. It's 2-1. Dave is ahead, and James Vickery will read for Dave.
Is it me?
Okay. Yes.
This very pleasantly exceeded my expectations. Smoothly accelerates. Powerful. And the light, which I thought was overkill, turned out to be something I never want to be without.
What do you think, Dave?
Oh, another tough one. But I think maybe I'm going to go back to my original, and I'm going to say appliance.
It is appliance.
Wow.
Nice job.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my bell is broken. It's like banging it.
You had paper jammed in your bell.
I did get something jammed in my bell. All right, so he's pulling hits 3-1 now. Roger Badish will be reading for Sean,
who is one, Sean.
Right outside our showcase studio.
Okay, Sean.
Here we go.
All right.
This was a cheap unit, but many months later, it is still functioning well. If you're not using this every day, I would highly recommend it.
Wow. Well, I can't do Yoris, so I'll do George Bailey. It sounds like an appliance.
Pretty good.
That was great.
Hey, Patty, put him on Friday Night Show.
Exactly. There you go. There you go.
Get him a seat over there. And he's correct.
Hey!
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Oh, it's fantastic. The game is now 3-2. We are playing What's in the Box. Rob Martyr will read for Dave.
All right, Dave. Love it. Does work. What else do you say? Has a horrible, weird smell that doesn't go away. Now, I know that sounded like a Dr. Seuss rhyme, but that's actually the way it was written.
Am I allowed to say, can you repeat the question?
Absolutely.
Here we go. Love it. Does work. What else do you say? Has a horrible, weird smell that doesn't go away. Just like I'm reading to my 5-year-old daughter.
Well, I'm going to have to say, once again, appliance.
I'm so sorry. It's a toy.
Oh.
It's a toy.
Oh, an opening for Sean.
Now, I don't know if that weird smell is pre or post, but we'll just leave it to your imagination. Yeah.
Either way, you don't want a weird smell.
Or read that to your 5-year-old daughter.
That's right.
No. Nick, right. You'll be reading for Sean, who is standing right behind you on Michigan Avenue.
You can't see the
card. Here we go.
All right, Sean, you ready?
Here we go.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Fab product makes my life better.
That is straight and to the point.
I do Mike Tyson. It sounds like a toy.
It's an appliance.
I think George Bailey would have gotten that one.
By the way, just so you know, Dave and Sean, we are pulling for both of you.
Absolutely.
We are showing both excitement and disappointment in equal ratio, we hope. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Elliot, please read for Dave.
Hey, Dave. Okay, since everyone's pulling out all the impressions, I'm gonna hit you with my Captain Kirk.
Ooh.
In honor of the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. I think Rob would nail this. He's closer to Kirk than I am, but we'll see. We'll go from here. Okay, ready?
I am.
Just trust me. This is what you want. That was it.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Another tough one, but...
It's so positive.
I'm just going to have to stick with an appliance.
A toy. It was a toy.
No.
Should be able to hear through that toupee. James Vickery, please read for Sean, who is right out here on Michigan Avenue.
Okay, and I will be reading this just as myself.
And I think everyone else should read as James Vickery.
Love this. My only complaint is that there isn't any handle, and I tend to accidentally turn the speed dial while using it. I could see that being a problem.
That would be a problem. What do you think, Sean?
Oh, baby, that's a toy.
It is a toy.
Hey! Yay! It is a tied game now.
Call that premature acceleration.
Let's see. I don't know. Okay, let's try to go. Rob, I'm going to have you. Rob, please read for Dave.
All right, Dave. It does what it's supposed to do, and I love that the cleanup is easy. But this thing is loud. If you buy it, you will see what I'm talking about.
Guys keep throwing
these tough ones at me. All right. I'm going to stick with my original. I'm going to stick with appliance.
Wow. Well done. It is an appliance, my friend.
Oh, it pulls ahead to 4. Roger Badish will read for Sean. It's a game 4-3.
4-3?
Yes. Sean's trying to catch up here.
I feel the tension in the air already. All right. Here we go. It's costly, but it offers the best combination of power, maneuverability, navigation, and ease of use.
Navigation.
Wow. GPS? I didn't realize those things.
Google Maps?
You know what? Guys could use that. Yeah.
It is scientific.
Well,
you know,
how about I just say it's an appliance?
John Wayne is checking in.
John Wayne standing next to his horse.
That's right.
That he rode in on. And what did you say again, John? John?
I think I said it's an appliance.
Well, partner, I think you're right.
Hey. Ooh, tie game. We might be able to wrap that up. There it is. My bell got sad there for a second. All right. Tied game. 4-4. Elliot, you are reading for... Oh, wait. Nick, no, you are reading for Dave.
This could be it.
Okay. Dave, you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right. So far, so good.
Is that it? Ooh.
I kind of love that.
I think... Wow.
What do you think?
Was that an ooh at the end?
Good. It was. Go ahead. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again.
All right. So far, so good.
I'm going to have to stick with my trusty appliance.
You got it.
Oh, appliance.
Let's try throwing you a curveball.
5-4. That's the game. Dave has won. Sean, great job, and thank you for joining us. You still win something. Whatever Dave decides he does not want will become Sean's prize. So thank you so much, Sean. Be safe, all right?
Yep. Thanks for standing in the rain.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you. We are just hanging out on a Friday night in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue. And that's my favorite city in the world. Technically, I've never lived anywhere else. But I visited, and I still come back and go, nope, no place beats this place. Joining me is Elliot Serrano, our Chief Geek Officer. You can go to geektome.net for all things geek and Star Trek, Star Wars, superheroes.
Everything.
Follow him on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter. It's 2 L's, 2 T's, 2 R's. There's O's and A's.
Yeah, I've been getting inundated with Facebook friend requests lately. So something's going on.
Nice.
Yeah.
And also you can like our page. Go to Patty V Show and like our page as well. We're almost at 3,900. Trying to catch up to Nick D. Nick D has more Facebook likes than any other show on WGN. He has over 12,000. So help a girl out. Help a sister out, will you? James Vickery also joins us. He performed at Zany's tonight.
I did.
To good crowds, I'm guessing.
Yeah. No,
more
fun.
People come out when it rains.
It was a very good like comedy night feel, you know, that little rain in Old Town.
It's Friday. They feel like they earned a night out.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Martier, our newsman, we've decided that we're not going to do the traditional let's do politics. I'm tired. I can't. I can't.
I'm just like, I'm down to the nub on the politics thing.
How many more days are left?
We're about 60. Yes, 59 now. Yeah.
Well, what we'll need to do in the next few weeks is start talking about the local races, the House of Representatives in Illinois, what senators, I think about a third. Senator Biss.
About right. I've got to look. Yeah. So somewhere thereabouts.
A lot of important contests happening all over the state. I've gotten into some interesting conversations with patrons of Howls and Hood, as a matter of fact. I was sitting at that bar, Nick, and this gentleman from, I want to say he was from England, got into an argument with me. Only because it was my fault. I was eavesdropping. and then I joined the conversation. Does that happen quite often? Do you get a chance to, I know it's always busy, so.
Yeah, and it's almost like the golden rule when you're drunk. Don't talk about politics.
That's why we do the weekend wind-up.
You know?
But we're so exhausted, we don't even want to do it on the weekend wind-up anymore. We'll just tell you, don't do it. If you hear other people doing it, just stay out of it. Just, you know, move down the bar a little bit.
Walk away.
Yeah, right.
Walk away.
We had a party today, and these girls had this big poster of Hillary Clinton, and they put it up on the side of the wall.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah, and
oh, boy.
I was like,
oh boy.
But nothing
darts at it?
Nothing happened, but I'm like, if we get busy and people start drinking, this could be ugly. But everything was cool, so that's great.
Good. Glad to hear that. James, you were here on Monday, and we did not get a chance to jump to the conversation that you had in mind. Roger Badish also joins us up in the newsroom. So I don't want to. I don't want to forget.
Salute.
I always feel bad when I post after the show. I'm like, oh, I had a great time with Elliot. Right.
I'm the guy who's always there, but you never know.
I know, but we do know. That's the thing. I have to remember those things.
Maybe if you had a more charismatic voice, Andrew. I'm just
kidding. I'll work on it. It's funny to me how many people I'll have in studio or that I talk to who decide which voice at WGN is the iconic news voice.
Ooh.
Sometimes it's Roger. Sometimes it's Rob. Sometimes it's Bertrand.
You both, yeah.
Yeah, so they jump around a little bit.
Bertrand's got a good voice.
You all have good voices. Yeah. That's Bertrand why you're our news guys.
Actually, it's the same voice. We just, like, loan it out to each other.
Well done, then. Yeah. Thank you. And post and editing, all that stuff has gone very well. James, you had brought something up on Monday that I didn't get a chance to get to. So now we didn't have a chance to get to it.
Oh,
here we go. We didn't have time for it.
Yeah, I had this thing on my mind because, I have friends with kids. I don't have any kids myself. But I have a couple of friends in particular. They have two little kids.
Borrow a few?
And what was that? Couple.
We can lend you ours.
Oh, no.
You want to borrow a few?
I'm cool. but at my friends with kids, I come over and it's instant, like, playing games, like backyard sports, some volleyball, baseball, football, running bases, like all these games I played as a kid. So it's super fun. But I wonder, I'd throw this out to the group because I haven't thought about this. But, like, I grew up with three older brothers. They never let me win. Like, it was... Basically, I'm not saying they would just be brutal on me, but there was never like, yay, you hit a home run. It was like, no, the day you hit a home run, you hit a home run, right?
Right,
like,
you earned that.
Yeah, you earned this. But I feel like there's been this little shift in society where it is a little more like, so my friend's daughter, so older, she's athletic, she really is, but we were playing volleyball and she was getting upset because we weren't hitting the ball to her, like on the other side of the net. I'm like, well... We can't control, like, you just get, that's just how it is, you know?
What you're saying is that she was whining.
Oh, yeah, she was whining. Hopefully she's not whining. Listening. She was,
you didn't say it. I'll say
you
it for
it.
You.
Yeah,
she was whining. I hope my friend is not listening either. She has a 5-year-old daughter. We were in the pool the other day, and she was so demanding of everyone. She was convinced that she could surf on a kickboard. Mm-hmm. And you can't. I mean,
right.
And so, like, we were, her mom and I were both trying to, like, create the illusion that we could hold her up on the surfboard to a lot of exertion. It's not easy. You can't, I couldn't do it. But yes, I remember the burn of defeat or being left out or, and I don't know, as a mom, I also know that I did that for Griffin. We would do races and I would let him win.
You would, yeah.
And then he started getting really cocky. Mm. And I just
turned it on.
And he was, and I realized, I don't know how I could have done, I should have done it differently. I think that I should have, because he has an immense ego, because he is gifted intellectually. But I think that there, and I hope that he'll hear this. He'll hear this at some point. But I think that he's intellectually advanced. And then as far as his emotions go, I don't think that I did as good of a job as I could have or wish I had done to sort of balance that with him. I mean, I know he's a great kid. He's amazing. Right. But he cried forever the day I beat him in a race. I mean, I beat him.
Yeah.
He was like, I want to say he was 7. And he was like, but here's the thing. Here's the fun thing. We went out for a run. He goes, can we just run now? Can we actually run? And I was like, sure. And so he, like, let out, and I could not keep up with him. So,
really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, and that's a great moment.
The student has become the master.
Exactly.
He's gonna, because he was, like, basically going at my pace. Like, this is really nice. Can we actually start running now? I've been running like this because it's how you do it, Mommy. So he's done it to me.
Well, that's what happened. I played a lot of, like, hockey in the basement with my brothers, you know, just like with a wiffle ball or plastic puck. And they would, if I was playing goalie, like, they would whip the puck at me. There was no, like, boop, you know, it was just like. So then when we played it in gym class, though, I was awesome.
Oh, see? As I was asking,
best
it was like
5th grade floor hockey, burn public school.
Because you could withstand the pain.
Because I withstand the pain. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do you do in your house, Rob?
Yeah,
I massage it, but I don't let them win.
Like,
massaging's good. Yeah.
So to a point, and then you pull back.
I almost feel like Jim Gaffigan in those Chrysler commercials. Mm-hmm. I do it for their benefit, you know. It's tough, but no, it's I grew up as an only child, and my dad never let me win until I actually started winning legitimately. But it is. There's a balancing act there. You don't want to crush their spirit. You want them to continue to participate. You want them to continue to compete and have fun. But at the same time, if you all of a sudden start, you know, good job, and the ball only went 2 feet. Well, that's not a good job. The ball only went 2 feet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's the way it's got to be.
I know. And do you do the same with, like, board games and things like that?
Aiden gets very upset. You know, like, he's pretty smart kid, and he knows it. But, you know, he thinks that he's smarter than mom and dad.
Right.
Which he's not yet. He's getting there. But
yeah,
you got to knock him down. Got to knock him down a few pegs.
That's what I say. Take it down a notch, kid.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Well, on the day I notice it, and I want to ask Nick too, because I know his kids are young, so he's on the precipice of this experience. But we'd gone to this place called the Jump Zone. It's all in Niles. Great place. You know, like, a lot of bouncy houses. I mean, I don't know if they have an adult night, but we should definitely.
Oh my god, that would be.
We should
awesome.
Broadcast from there.
Yes,
be fantastic. Also, those places that have like the trampolines. That would be fun. It's like right around in the same sort of complex. But we'd taken him with his brother several times. So he was familiar with the place. So we decided to have his birthday party there. But they have someone give you instructions with the whole group. And Griffin starts rolling his eyes and like mocking the guy. I was like, okay, just because you know stuff, just because you're good at something, just because you know more than the rest of I'm like, this is not appropriate.
Right.
Like, I pulled him aside at his own party. I'm like, this is not how we do. This is not how we do. Nick, so you have a newborn. And
he's not winning at anything right now.
You do that.
You call that spit up? You can do better than that.
Yes. Come on. Let me see a real poopy doopy.
This is
doopy.
How you spit up.
Only 2 diapers a day?
Do you weigh them? Are you weighing them?
Yeah. All right. You got to beat 3 ounces.
All right, then. What do you think? What do you envision, considering the conversation that we're having? And we'll ask Roger as well how he raised his kids and is watching his grandkids. What do you think when you are competing or playing a game?
I mean, you don't let them win, you know. I mean, you have to be competitive and you have to compete with them. And eventually they'll probably beat you, but when they do, you know what I mean?
When
I beat my dad
it.
For the first time in golf, there was that moment. And years later, we still talk about it. Well, at least I do. I bring it up, and he's like, shut up.
Golf's a great example because you can't really, like, you can't choke. You can't, like, you know, you can't hold back in golf. I mean, I guess you could, like, not hit it as hard.
Or pool.
You can whiff or something.
Anything. But then there's that moment, that father-son bonding thing where, like, you finally beat your dad at something you're both good at. You know what I mean? It's something you both bond at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
happened with me with boxing. When I first beat
Roger, what was your approach?
Well, our daughter was born first, and then there were 10 years between her and our son.
Okay.
So we kind of approached them all both differently. Sarah actually played Little League baseball and won the championship with her team. Of course, it was the state senator's daughter's team, so that might have had something to do with it.
Oh,
I don't know.
You're saying something fishy with the
something
recruiting?
Might have been in play. But I would play catch with her. I taught her how to, you know, handle a bat, taught her how to go bowling, but we weren't competitive.
Yeah.
We would just go bowling and
or
like
practice.
Oh, you look how many you got. That's great. Mm-hmm. Here's how much daddy got because daddy's bigger and he's been doing it longer. So, same with softball. You know, daddy can hit the ball, but it's your time to learn. With our son, we really didn't do that much in sports. He didn't play on the baseball. He learned stuff on his own. We went bowling every so often. That was kind of our big thing. And with the grandkids now, it's not sports. Our daughter is handling that. The sports, but we're playing card games now.
Okay. So
and that's a little different.
Why?
Well, the older one is, you know, here are the rules. I know them by heart. The younger one is, oh, look at all the cards I have. So it's kind of...
They're all... I like the ones with the crowns.
You know, so it's kind of hard to say, oh, you shouldn't have shown it. Now we got to start all over again, and you got to learn to follow the rules. And so it's a very... It's a learning, you know, process. But I've never really had to... We've never been competitive. Never.
Well, I want to find out from Elliot when we come back what his experiences were like. And from you as well, listeners, we want to 312-981-7200. Let us know if you know, do you prefer to go all, you know, all out mm-hmm. and win at all costs against your kid? Or when you were growing up, you know, did your parents go easy on you so you could win? Because I think that Roger actually reminded me that my dad taught me how to play a gin rummy when I was five. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And we are having fun on a Friday night. You know, a little bit, we'll have a conversation with an author who found some interesting elements of her family history that we're... elements isn't even a way to describe it. It's going to be a fascinating conversation with Jennifer Tiga, who is an author from Germany. And it's daytime for her. I think, is it like 12 hours? We'll have to figure it out. Is it 8 hours? So it's daytime for seven. It's 7 hours. I'm hearing in my head. Yeah, I hear numbers. Some people see dead people. I hear numbers in my head. Joining me is Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. James Vickery, comedian extraordinaire, who is performing at Zanies. You can go to zanies.com for information on his shows at the Zanies on Wells in Old Town. I'll be there with him as well.
Yes, Saturday shows tomorrow.
We have four more shows left this weekend. Rob Martier, our newsman, who is enjoying the cocktails created by. Created? Is this your concoction? Is this a team collaboration?
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Oh, so. From Howells and Hood. Up in the newsroom, Roger Badish. And we've been talking about whether or not you let your kids win, whether it's your kids or you're competing. Elliot, did your parents play board games or sports with you?
My dad played. We played board games. We played not so many sports. A lot of board games, though. Dad always beat us. He just, you know, if you beat dad, that was something. I never beat my dad.
Never. Ever.
Ever.
Wow.
In what sports? Tell me all the sports you played.
Well, no, it was mostly board games. It was always board games. Monopoly. Couldn't beat dad at Monopoly. Parcheesi. Remember
Do we Parcheesi? Think he was just cheating now?
Monopoly?
At all of it.
No. It was always a thing. But yeah, no, he liked to play. He was very competitive. The only time I ever got to win was when I played my siblings. Mm. You know, but we were always like, we could never beat dad at anything.
Do you feel like you're going to spend the rest of your life trying to make up for this?
Well, okay. I didn't realize you were in a therapy session now, but yes.
Now that you mention it.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Phil.
Thanks. Harold. Hi, Harold. Thank you for joining the conversation. What do you want to tell us?
What's up? How you doing? What's up?
Hey, what's up?
What's up? So it's not a kid thing, like some of the things you guys have been talking about. It just made me laugh, though, and I got to share this with you guys. My nephew, probably about 5 years ago, he was probably about 30, I think he was. And my brother is his uncle. Was about 50, and my brother 380 pounds, and my nephew about 180, and maybe 160 even, and they got into some little kind of argument about running, and my nephew was like, I can outrun you, don't worry, I can. And my brother says, anytime, anywhere. He's like, we'd do it right now. All right, let's go. They went outside and they got ready. And somebody, how it go? My brother left my nephew in the dust. 200-pound handicap against him.
Wow.
And he left my nephew. And they were not, neither one of them were running slow. And he left him behind in the dust.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never had anybody, my family, they never, and I never felt like I needed to either, but nobody ever like, well, come on, let them win one or right. something. No, never did it. Hey, I wonder if anybody's ever had that Santini thing where you actually win and the dad is like, well, let's go another, let's make it best of 10,
If for anyone that isn't familiar with the movie, Santini. The Great Santini with Robert Duvall, which we just watched with the Marines several weeks ago mm-hmm. for Semper Film. Great question. If somebody like the dad just lost his mind when the son finally beat him. And the difference though is that I think the important part of that was that the dad was always kind of bullying his son, right? Like kind of making fun of him, a lot of trash talk. Don't you think, Harold?
Yeah, and then when he won, instead of like hey, my boy actually can win, it was more like, no, you can't beat me. I'm unbeatable.
Did you ever have that with your brothers, James? Where did they ever get mad when you did beat them?
No, I'm
not saying that they're like the Grand Santini.
Right, yes. No, there, it was always a pretty healthy competition. Yeah, they gave over the torch pretty easily, I think. Yeah. Right now they're probably listening and be like, well, you can't beat me at anything. I still can't. Wiffle ball is still pretty competitive.
I want to come watch you guys play wiffle ball.
It's fun.
There's a entertainment manager in Los Angeles named Rick Messina who has a wiffle ball stadium on his property with like bleachers and the whole the entire diamond, everything.
That's amazing.
Harold, are you a wiffle ball fan?
No, I mean I can never. I can't get the concept in my head.
I'm with you.
A bat that weighs 3 ounces and hit a ball that weighs 1.5 ounces, and it goes about 12 feet and then it falls. And it's like, I mean, give me a league ball and I want to hit it out the park.
Yeah, you want to hit the stitches off of that thing. Well, thank you so much, Harold. Have a great weekend, and we look forward to hearing from you again. Thank you so much. Thank you. You have a great night too, Rob Martier, taking leave of us. Safe travel, sir. You know, the roads are a little wet.
Bye, Rob. Bye, Rob.
Coming up after the news, we are going to have an interview with a woman named an author, Jennifer Tiga, who will be the keynote speaker at the What You Do Matters luncheon on September 14th. You want to know more about that? But she's written a book called My Grandfather Would Have Shot Me: A Black Woman Discovers Her Nazi Past, and we look forward to hearing from her. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It is Friday night. We were going to switch gears here. There is a remarkable author who will be speaking at the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum for What You Do Matters. It's a luncheon on September 14th. And if you have an opportunity to attend, I suggest that you look into that, because Jennifer Tiga is the author of My Grandfather Would Have Shot Me: A Black Woman Discovers Her Nazi Past. And she has an amazing story. You can find her book on Amazon.com. We hope that we can touch base with her. There is a time difference. She is in Germany right now. So we had arranged for a conversation. And believe me, I have conversations with people in L.A. and I'm always thinking of the wrong difference of time.
I know.
So we are hoping we get the chance to talk to her. If not, I highly recommend that you check out her book. I've been reading excerpts from it. Again, My Grandfather Would Have Shot Me: A Black Woman Discovers Her Nazi Past. She is the daughter of a German mother and Nigerian father, and she was placed in a children's home when she was just 4 weeks old. And only 10 years ago, in her 30s, she started discovering her family's history. And wow. Found out that her grandfather was Amon Goethe, who is was known as one of Hitler's butchers. And if you've seen the movie Schindler's List, Ralph Fiennes plays her grandfather in the movie. So again, a remarkable book by a woman who went to great lengths to find out about her history. I don't even know how you begin to scratch at that. Once you find out, you know, it's like, how much do you want to know? And yet you're compelled to know. I've been, one of the things I did when I was doing research for our interview was I found out that Ancestry.com sold for $1.6 billion just a few years ago. And I've gone on there and I've kind of like, because you can do sort of a sample search on your family. Have you ever thought about digging into your family's history, James?
I have. Now I want to. Interesting note, though, by the way, my mom was actually born in a work camp in Germany. She's my mom is Serbian and Polish. Her dad was in the Serbian military. And so she lived in Germany till she was 4.
Oh, my God.
Before she came to the U.S. Yeah.
Does she have memories of
it? She has some vague memories. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But but she spoke a little German when she was a kid, and Serbian and Polish. So.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, the thing is that we think of it almost as like something that happens in movies now, right?
Right.
We're part of that generation of we're removed from it, and there are survivors, there are children of survivors. I dated a boy in college, let's call him Tom, and this is actually I loved his family. I absolutely loved his family. His mother was born in Bavaria, mm-hmm. and her family fled from the Nazis, and they had sewn all of the family's jewelry into a teddy bear. And when they were, they gave it to her, she was carrying on in case they were stopped. They were hoping that they would show mercy on this little girl and her teddy bear, like that kind of stuff. And she remembers being chased by German shepherds as they were running through the woods. So, I mean, there's so many stories that continue to be important and will always be important. The need to track your family history goes back thousands and thousands of years. Nick, have you ever tracked down your family history?
It's definitely something that I'd love to do.
Right.
You know, I mean.
Do you have any relatives that you know? Because my aunt, and I should go see her again because she has it all. Like, she brings out the roll and puts it on the dining room table and shows us like all the different branches of the tree. Do you have anyone in your family like that?
Well, my mom's side, they know everything. They got pictures and all that stuff. And my dad's side, it's like, yeah, we got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and, you know, whatever. And he's drinking a scotch, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, that side I'm curious about because we do have like some Black Hawk roots. And,
ooh.
Yeah, my great-great uncle played for the Hawks and then actually won a cup in 30.
I thought you meant Native Americans.
No, but that too. We have Cherokee too. So both kind of.
Does yourself like argue with yourself about the, you know, the Chief Blackhawk logo on this sweater?
Elliot, I argue with myself all the time.
You have no idea. How do you come up? That's how he comes up with all these great concoctions. These great drinks.
I'm just trying to think.
I feel bad. I feel like we're letting you down on the naming of the drink. I want to give a good name option. Yeah. I'm going to in maybe a few weeks from now.
What color? Hold on 1 second.
Right.
Oh yes, Roger. We actually have our call. We actually have our call
for author.
Just one moment. Let me. I want to set the stage again because I'm very excited to talk to this woman. Again, as I was mentioning several years ago, the website Ancestry.com sold for over $1.6 billion because we are so fascinated about our past and the mystery of where we came from really captures our imaginations. But the thing that's so compelling about this is what happens when you discover more about your ancestors than you could have ever imagined. And I'm not exaggerating, and we've been talking about, when I tell you that our next guest, our author on the line, uncovered the most startling truths about her family's past and about her own identity. And we have on the line with us an author, and she's going to be the keynote speaker on September 14th at the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum for their What You Do Matters luncheon. And joining us is Jennifer Tiga. How are you doing, Jennifer?
I'm fine, thank you. Hello.
Hello. I've been reading so much about your journey, and I have been telling our listeners a little bit about your past, that your mother, your biological parents, your mother was German and your father was Nigerian, and you had been placed in a children's home at 4 weeks old. What set you on this journey to find out about your ancestors, about the history of your family?
Well, it was a coincidence. As you mentioned, I was adopted as a very young child. I was in an orphanage first and then adopted by a white German family. So I did know a little bit about my past. I was in contact with my biological mother and my grandmother when I was a little kid, but I haven't seen both of them for years. And one day, a few years ago, I was in a library. It was a very huge library in Germany, and I saw a book on a shelf. It was a book that had a red cover, and I picked it up from the shelf, and I started, first I glanced, of course, at the cover, then I started leafing through its pages, and there were some photographs included. There was one picture of a woman, and it was a woman with long hair, and she reminded me of my biological mother. There was another picture of an older woman, and this picture reminded me of my biological grandmother. At the very end of the book, there was a summarization of biographies, and they perfectly matched my adoptive, the record that I had of my adoption. So I understood that it was not just a random book, but it was a book that told the story of my biological family. This is how I found out.
Wow. I mean, what are the chances? How widely how publicized? I mean, how many publications of this book were there? Is it kind of a rare book?
It's a rare book, and it was in the psychology department, not in the history department. I mean, if you know about my family's history, you assume it's in the history department. No, it was really pure coincidence.
Wow.
Or maybe it was fate.
It sounds a lot like fate. And from what I've been reading, you were intrigued and drawn to stories about the Holocaust, even at a young age.
Yes. I mean, in Germany, it's mandatory, the education about Holocaust, different to the United States. So I knew a lot about the Holocaust. And not only that, I had been educated in school, I lived and studied in Israel without knowing anything about my biological family's past. I lived there as a young adult. I studied in Israel. If you speak Hebrew, it's Historia Shel Mizrach HaTichon, which means Middle Eastern studies and African studies, for a couple of years. So I was very connected to the Jewish history and the Jewish faith without knowing anything.
unbelievable. And you know, I was telling our listeners as well that part of your journey was discovering, you know, once you found this book, telling the story about your grandmother. And again, what was what was in that book about your grandmother and your mother that set you on this path?
Well, it's actually family chronicle. My mother is the daughter of Amon Goethe. And Amon Goethe, you are maybe not familiar with the name, but with the figure, because most of your listeners probably have seen the movie Schindler's List. And Schindler's List features Amon Goethe. He's the opponent of Oskar Schindler, who saved the Jews, and Amon Goethe killed the Jews. So my mother is the daughter, and my grandmother lived with Amon Goethe right outside the concentration camp as his mistress. And the story tells of the upbringing of my mother and about the family's connection to the war.
And you visited that house. That's what I was reading today, was about your visit to this home. And one of the great lines there was the crumbling walls holding up the past.
It was a visit, but a visit sounds a bit like if you go there for a touristic purpose.
Right.
No, it was really an inner journey. When I made the discovery, it was very shocking, because if you have an identity, and I obviously had, I was almost 40 when I made the discovery, it plunged me into a deep depression. And I wanted somehow, you know, to reconcile with the past. So that's why I went to Krakow, and the concentration camp is not existing anymore, but the old villa is still there. And it was a very moving experience, because you see, it's so close, and especially when you're in the house, it seems like everything that happened years ago is just, you know, it's seconds away. And it was a very moving experience that actually helped me somehow to bring things closer and then let go ultimately.
And again, you know, I mentioned the word visit. That was kind of how you had presented yourself. Because, I mean, how do you, you know, approach the person that's going to show you the house and tell them your history? It's almost too, you know, unbelievable, really.
Yeah. Well, the book I write about it, I have written a book. I wanted to make the readers understand, also you listeners, that it's really a very personal experience. So I describe it very much into detail, that you can almost feel like yourself standing in the house, and then can feel the shivers. I mean, people lived there must have been afraid every day, because they had to fear for their life. Every day could have been the last day in their life.
You also write about
the servants,
yes,
lived there,
the maids,
not my grandmother.
Right. Right. You also share the story of there's a documentary in which your mother had written a letter to the maid who lived in the basement.
Yes, that's true. Her name is Helen, and Helen lived in the basement together with another maid, and she is featured with my mother in the movie. It's a heartbreaking documentary that shows the two women meeting for the first time. And it brings up a lot of memories, which is almost impossible to watch, because it's so heartbreaking.
And so much of this is, and that brings me to another point that you mentioned in your writing and some of the interviews that you've done, is that writing this book, and even though you had read so much, both in your youth and studying when you were older, and, you know, perhaps watching movies and things like that, but that this seems so much more immediate to you as you were writing the book when you discovered who your grandfather was.
Yes, but the book is not a therapy. It's a really, it's also my book. It's a family chronicle. It tries to explain you things, but in a very personal way. It was not that I needed, I had therapy for many years after the coincidence, but when I discovered the book, because I needed the help of someone who really works professionally with post-traumatic stress syndromes. But the book was more really to, somehow make people understand how it feels. I mean, it's some just think, you know, it is very difficult, because it has to do a lot with identity, with family secrets, with the question who you are. Is guilt is guilt, can you inherit guilt, for example? So I try to cover all these things, but it's done in a very personal way, so that you can experience somehow lived through my own eyes. It's written from my heart.
No, and that comes across very clearly in the way you've written so much of this from your heart. It jumps off the page. And when you say, can you inherit guilt, then, when you talk to, I'm guessing you've spoken to Holocaust survivors or their descendants. What has that experience been like?
I've spoken to many. I mean, I've spoken to them before I knew about my identity when I lived in Israel as a young adult. But of course, I also spoken to them, and I will do so when I'm back in the United States next week for the luncheon. They are very often very open, and they want to meet me. And I mean, you can't see me. You can just listen to my voice. It's striking because I look so different. The color of my skin is dark, so it makes it easy for them to approach me. And most of the time, it's a very, a very warm encounter that leads to hugging or that leads to a very intense conversation. And it ultimately gives the survivors often hope because they see that history does not need to repeat itself.
Right, because there's something so profound to the granddaughter of one of Nazi Germany's most brutal killers being, as you say in your book, someone he would have shot. So
yes,
that contrast is amazing and miraculous in some ways, and actually in every way.
Yeah, it's the outer appearance that I look so different and that I absolutely do not represent the Aryan idea, but it's also the inside. I so much reject what my biological grandfather did. And when people see that I'm different, that my character is different, this is something that you can't fake. You know, when you are close with someone, they can feel it.
In all of the work that you've been doing as you write and do all the research, what are your thoughts when you see, when you hear language that is about other, you know, that we need to limit the access to hope and to life, whether it's for immigrants or people who are different? Does that sort of concern you, or do you have a perspective that you want to share with people whenever you speak?
Well, absolutely. I have a very clear stand. I mean, in Germany, we now have the refugee crisis is all over the media. I very much do think that you have to leave the borders open, that you have the people need help, that you do have to help. Of course, you shouldn't be naive, and it has to be done within limits. But I do think that we have a responsibility as Germans, but everyone has a human responsibility. And the U.S. Holocaust Memorial, for example, took a very brave stand in condemning what's going on in Syria. And I do not only really the stuff of the museum, but also the ideology of the museum is not only to remember what happened in the past, but also to prevent future genocides. I think they do a brilliant job. And yeah, this is I very much can identify with their ideology and the program that the museum has.
Because we look at history and we say, oh, I can't believe people let this happen. I can't believe people did this. And yet we are standing in the middle of our own time and saying, well, not here. Well, we don't want them. We certainly let somebody else take care of it. And that's what happened during World War II, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we all have a responsibility, and you have elections very soon. So the Americans also have a responsibility.
Yes, everybody has a responsibility. And as you said, to help each other, to be open to not letting this happen again. And the other thing that you mentioned in some of the writing, and I'm not sure if it was from the book, I was kind of trying to get as much. I wanted to know you because this is such a just an astounding experience to learn about. And again, I want our listeners to know that you can find her book in so many different locations. But My Grandfather Would Have Shot Me, A Black Woman Discovers Her Nazi Past. I think that I loved what you said about wanting to get close so that you could put distance between you and that. And you also talk about how the people of Germany, it's like, how did they go along with this? How could someone in your own past have gone this way, and how do you stop it from happening again? But that everybody who participated or was there, it's unfortunate that they didn't all have therapy to recover.
Well, the generation immediately after the war, they didn't talk about what was happening. I mean, there was a wall of silence. But today people talk about it. I think only if you have it have a conversation about it. If there's no silence, then you can learn, and you have to bring up the subject again and again, because yes, the Holocaust was a genocide of gigantic proportion, but it's not the only genocide that we had and we still have in the world. So this is what people have to understand. And always, if you look at the one who is next to you, just, you know, look at him as a human being, not as someone who's a threat.
That's the hardest thing. Elliot, we have Elliot Serrano joining us as well. Go ahead, Elliot.
Jennifer, I was just curious. I know you give these speeches, you've expressed your experiences through your writing. But I'm wondering if you have a somewhat different approach when you speak to youth about it. I know in my own personal experience dealing with young folks, we do have a Holocaust museum here in Chicago out in Skokie. And I've visited there. When they'll have groups of teenagers come through, it's something that sometimes they just can't seem to grasp, you know, the reality of it. Even though the museum here is very straightforward in representing the things that took place, but I think that even the enormity of it is a lot that, you know, kids in this generation just have a hard time grasping. Do you have a way that you approach it when you talk to youth?
Well, I do. I do see myself more in adult education, because the story that I have to tell is very complex, and I think you have to have a certain age really to get it into detail or to get all the layers. But if I talk to younger adults, I would say, I think most important is that you, and therefore it's actually important that they can speak to survivors. They will be gone very soon, so we have really to take the opportunity. But you have to, like, through storytelling, if you humanize a story, then they can relate to it. But if you just give them numbers, like millions of people died, this is something that they, you know, they can't really understand, and then it doesn't really get into their heart. And this is where it has to be placed, in their hearts. So that I also do think we do not really have to educate in the sense that that people have to learn something. It's more not about being more intelligent or being more smart, but being wiser. And when you want to get wiser, you really have to feel something. So storytelling is actually a good way of approaching young adults.
Well, and I think that everyone can benefit from hearing your story. And I invite everyone to visit the website, ushmm.com. That's the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. Jennifer Tiga will be speaking next Wednesday, September 14th, at What You Do Matters Luncheon. There's an 11:15 a.m. registration, the noon lunch and program, and you can buy your tickets on their website. And I look forward to meeting you at that event, Jennifer. Thank you.
One thing, I would also encourage all your listeners to come to D.C. one day and visit the museum. It's a perfect place, really, to learn about the Holocaust. And I also personally donate to the museum. I think it's brilliant. If you have some money left, leave it at the museum. They can really do some good things with it. Okay?
Absolutely. Again, this has been Jennifer Tiga calling us from Germany. Thank you so much for that. She's written, "My Grandfather Would Have Shot Me, A Black Woman Discovers Her Nazi Past." Thank you for what you've done for everyone in sharing your story, your very complicated and difficult story. Thank you.
Thank you, and see you in Chicago.
I will see you on Wednesday. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. You can go to geektome.net for all things Elliot.
And Star Trek. I have lots of Star Trek stuff. I keep harping on that, but I worked really hard on getting the Star Trek content up. I would love folks to check it out. Let me know what they think.
Check out his Star Trek content. There you go.
It's the 50th anniversary of Star Trek.
50th. That's amazing. Wow. It's hard to believe. James Vickery. Comedian, bi-coastal. Is this people say bi-coastal, but we're not really a coast.
I know, but it Lake Michigan feels as though it is.
I
right?
agree.
So. Technically, it is a coast.
Exactly. Well, so I use the term bi-coastal.
The very bi-coastal, James Vickery, appearing at Zany's the rest of this weekend. There are four more shows left. 7 o'clock on Saturday, 9 o'clock Saturday, and 11:15 on Saturday. Three shows. One of the last clubs in the country.
I was just saying, then what, they burn down Zany's at that point?
it's an amazing thing. It's some comics worry about repeating the same joke, like later in their set. I've actually repeated the same joke back to back. I've reloaded and just started it all over again. I went, just want to see if you're paying attention.
I had that happen tonight during my. I was like, did I already say this like just a minute ago? You know, it is hard to.
You start having sort of this weird Vujah Day moment. That's George Carlin. Yeah. It's the weird sensation that none of this has ever happened before. that's why I do stand-up comedy. I listen to Carlin on campus way too many times. Nick Summers also joined us in studio, has made this amazing cocktail for us. Roger, I'm not sure.
Truly amazing.
I don't know if I can explain it or describe this cocktail to you.
Well, I was going to ask about it earlier because you're still trying to come up with a name.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
It's sweet and spicy.
Sweet and spicy.
It is sweet and spicy.
All things sweet and spicy.
Ooh, that might be a nominee right
the
there.
Sweet and spicy?
All things sweet and spicy.
Ooh.
I like sassy, that. A sassy drink?
It's that or the Vickery. I mean, I'm still torn.
It is.
Well, is it a drink that is mellow or does it sneak up on you?
No, it's not mellow.
It sneaks up
sneaks
on you.
It sneaks up on you.
Okay, so I'm going to throw this in. Mark Carman likes to use my grade school nickname when we discuss things. Whenever he's hosting, I'll go for badass.
I prefer badassery.
Badassery.
Nick is looking like we're not going to use the word ass on our menu.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Does that go for a dollar in the glass jar or
no.
something? Or
Elliot's got a thought.
It's red.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's got a little bit of Latin zing to it.
Ooh. Yes.
The Desi Lu.
Ooh.
Like, you know, Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz.
Desi Lu Productions.
The Desi
I don't
Lu.
Know.
Yeah.
There you go.
Interesting.
It has jalapeno in there. It has cranberry.
Yes.
The jalapeno cranberry.
Genius.
Call it a health drink since you got cranberry in there.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be very good for you.
It's good for your research.
The nutrients, which I mentioned earlier. You know.
That's all good stuff. Well, I think we've got some nominees. If we have listeners from our description of said cocktail, have some ideas. And here, 312-981-7200. You can call or text us with a drink name suggestion for the Howls and Hood menu. If it's chosen, do they get anything for your at the restaurant?
Yeah, we can throw them a $25 gift certificate to Howls and Hood.
No,
there you go.
Name it the Desi Lu.
You get a $25.
I like the Desi Lu.
I'll buy you dinner.
And all things that are sweet and spicy.
All things sweet and spicy.
All things sweet and spicy in the Desi Lu. So we got one and two.
Do you usually have
jalapeno
names?
Cranberry?
Yeah. Come on, don't you let it sink in.
The Hallenberry.
The Hallenberry. That's a good one.
See, you know, it's the liquid of ingenuity.
Right?
Because, see, Halle Berry.
I will say, at this point, it is making my lips burn a little bit.
It
in
is,
a good way.
Yeah. It is.
It's an appliance.
Somebody.
Well done.
Very good. Nice.
Well, how did the train come off the rails? The
how
what?
About the stinger.
The stinger.
Well, it's making his lips burn. Yeah. It's got the jalapeno in there. It's
the slow burn.
Isn't there a drink already called the stinger, I think?
Or yes.
Like an older fashioned. Can't remember. Yeah. Well, because I don't drink. I just, you know, I sample.
We do like you kind of digging around for this, though.
Right.
Enjoying that part of it.
The badass stinger.
The badass
stinger.
Now he's just combining all the elements there, Roger Badish. We were talking about, indeed, the pursuit of finding out your family's history, your identity. My real last name that I never share on the show, which I continue not to, and I know that there are people who know it, and that's fine. But my name was created to label a Jewish family during the Spanish Inquisition in the 1480s. So somewhere back in my history, I know I have, it's one of those things. Somebody else did the work for me. They call, they're only about 100 people in the United States with my last name. So they've called all those people and so they share all that information and I've done some research and it is the case. And then my aunt has, like I said, she rolls out this huge family tree and some of my family was from Bavaria, some from France. I always say Irish and Mexican because that's the most recent. Sort of the connections that we have. Mm-hmm. My great grandmother Maggie O'Doyle came here from County Cork.
Maggie O'Doyle, she was Irish. You said
right? And my mother is from Coahuila, so from Mexico. So that's I have that part. And then I saw my dad's birth certificate. Have you found anything about your parents that really was in contrast to everything you believed before that? Because I thought my dad was a lifelong Northsider, grew up in Lincoln Park, found his birth certificate after he died, Southsider, Southside Irish. I had no idea.
Wow.
More visitors.
Hold on. What do we, I'm sorry, what is it? Nick? I can't read that sign that that
actress,
Sean has put on the.
Actress in Spanish major, new to Chicago, can't get you now.
Can't get you now.
I don't get the can't get you now part.
There is a fan of the show, Sean, who is has been hanging out outside the Showcase studio and has now. I feel badly he couldn't have like a whole.
Befriended.
He couldn't get an entire crowd out there.
But, it's growing though. There's
yes,
two people.
Yes, she
they're,
is.
They're waiting
actress.
For the 11:30 show.
Yeah, something's happening. So that's I haven't really done more footwork or really done the research to find out more about my family history. But
I'm curious to do it though. I would.
I know
it's fun. It's time consuming.
Is the
Ancestry.com?
Yeah, is it pricey?
I don't know if it's pricey. And then there are other ones where you can submit like DNA samples to even break that down some more. I know. That's intense, isn't
that's
it?
That's a little too much. I mean,
submitting my own DNA sample.
Then you're in the system, Nick. You're in the system and they gotcha, you know?
My blood.
You know, there's a way you can do a lot of searching without having to pay anything. I did a lot and traced it back over 100 years.
I got my pen out. Go ahead. Yes.
And it's just Googling. And I traced the name back.
Put your pen back down.
She just threw her notebook out of the window.
I'm so sorry. I know
and
you were
just
expecting
Googling.
Something really good, but no, I just, but you follow the leads like in any good research. You get one thing and you see a couple of other things listed and you follow those and you keep following until you can't do it anymore. And I have followed our family back to a Von Baddish that came over on a boat from Amsterdam, even though our family name is from Germany, Baden, Germany, and followed that there were several in the Baddish family that went through the Carolinas down to Kentucky and then up to Denver. And there's an actual Baddish
what river
family
did they
in Denver
for that
now.
One? Do we know how they traveled from the Carolinas to?
I don't know. They just kept moving. But their names kept popping up in certain spots. And you follow the mother's name or the father's name or the child's name backwards. And that's how I found it to the cruise ship that came over. I mean, a ship. Right. I don't know if it was a cruise ship, but a ship that came over from Amsterdam. But Amsterdam was used. This is why I haven't been able to trace it further back than
okay.
that.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold the presses.
Yes.
So when you say just Googling, so you just typed in the name Baddish.
Mm-hmm.
And
I get different Baddish names, and I follow the names back. And I'll, like, type in a parent's name, and that gives me a different location. And then I may add that location to the search, or I come up with other names. Now, a lot of this information that comes out is from these sites, but a lot of that is you can access it through the Google search. It pops up as a page. Now, you may not be able to find a date. You may not be able to find a full first name or relatives from it because, again, that's behind the paywall.
Okay, but here's the thing. Like, so I just typed in my grandfather's name.
Okay.
Right? So, mm-hmm. but then, so the person and the images and the story that I get, I know is not my grandfather.
Well, but then, so then you go for another one. You go for another listing. That's what I did a couple of times. We have Baddishes in England, which I never knew. There's Baddish families living in England. The family in Denver. Then there were other Baddishes that came across from New Jersey into Chicago, and that was a different set of
I'm sorry,
of
Roger.
Family.
If it's not on the first page of Google, I'm
exactly.
done.
I look at two links.
If it's not on the top searches, this sounds like a lot of
I'm
digging.
I'm sorry. I even found a company.
Okay, can you estimate how many hours?
Took me?
It's a noble pursuit.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'm using that tone of voice. But can you... But can you guesstimate how many hours you've devoted to your ancestry search?
I think total time maybe about 4 or 5 hours. That was way back when. I haven't done anything in over a year.
Hmm.
But I actually found relatives that I did not know of that I asked my father about a couple of years ago, and he remembered them. They were back in New Jersey, and he remembered them, and he also remembered one of the relatives of whose family eventually went through Kentucky and eventually right. went to Denver, even though my dad didn't know that family.
See, you have a much nicer story than the rest of us as far as like getting results, because my my aunt, let's call her Aunt Pat, she what's her name? She has all of the information, and I would go and find out more. Only every time I talk to her, she wants me to do a free show for the retirement home in her neighborhood.
Oh, really?
What?
Let's do it. I'll do it with you.
I think they offered to give me money, but I was just like, I hear the words retirement home, and I'm like, oh, what am I doing that day?
It's a tough because gig.
It's a, and by the way, I have done them, and they always go well. Mm-hmm. I just always get nervous because we act as though we invented stuff.
Right.
We act as though we didn't, you know, I mean, people have lived lives. Have, yeah, right. and we get in there all nervous, like, oh, this is going to shock them. They live.
It's so true.
Yeah. People have lived through much harder things than we will ever know.
I know.
Yes. Anyway.
I just saw for the first time Singing in the Rain. Yeah.
Wow. You know,
I just made you do a spit take.
Good morning. We talked the whole yep. night through. Good. I don't know. What
so
we're
I've
talking
seen
about.
Clips from it, but I just saw it in L.A. at this.
Her roses. Are, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's so.
Moses supposes his toes are roses. Moses supposes erroneously. I'm sorry. What movie did you see?
That one. I loved it. Like, I was totally blown away by how funny I thought it was. And, like, I had a friend point out to me, she's like, do you think we invented comedy? Like, people didn't, like, make funny things before then?
Yes, yes, yes. No, no, no. You're listening pretty late. Coming up after this quick break, we are going to find... Give me something good. Tell me something. Tell me something good. It's the good stuff when we come back on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 if you want to tell us something good about today.
Tell me something good.
We are wrapping up the show. Mike Hedeman and Kevin what's Kevin's last name? Kevin Richter. I need to know everyone's last name. Kevin Richter and Michael Hedeman are going to be hosting in just a few moments. Nick Summers, tell me something good.
I had a baby boy.
Yay, nice. Elway.
I didn't, but
right. You participated.
Not physically, but yes. I was there. I was coaching. I learned
how
I learned
do you
how
coach
to count-
in that situation. So, I'm so sorry, Kevin. I didn't know Richter. I was like, Kevin, it's like some like sidekick name from Conan O'Brien's show. James, tell me something good.
I had an impromptu like family dinner with my mom and one of my brothers tonight, and my mom made pork chops and macaroni and cheese and vegetables. And it was just like it's before my shows tonight, and
it's
it was just
good.
It's great,
so great. I love that, Elliot. Tell me something good.
I went on a puppy parade today.
Of course, that's good stuff.
I went on a parade with a bunch of puppies, and we went to the American Library Association. And oh my goodness, I had no idea librarians were as cute as they are these days. I mean, they're really.
I'm not familiar with the stereotype. Before we go, Roger Badish, tell me something good.
Bridget successfully went through two leg surgeries in less than a week, and we'll be going to a rehab facility on Sunday. And we feel very blessed. And speaking of dogs, a therapy dog was in the hospital today, and we were able to bring it up into the room, and Findlay was his name, and it was right after she got back to the room from surgery, the second surgery, and she had a great time.
Well, there you go. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that she's doing well.
Yeah, yeah.
Joining us in studio are Kevin Richter and Michael Hedeman, who are taking over the reins.
Oh, yeah.
This That's is the first right. time I've had you guys here. Let me see. Is this microphone working? No, I don't feel like it is.
Kevin,
can you share with Michael?
That microphone is so cute, Kevin.
I know. What is?
Can you do the whole show like that?
Yeah. What happened? Can I hear Nick? Can you give Mike your microphone, and we'll do it that way, just so that they don't have to cuddle.
Here, Mike.
I mean,
here, Mike. Here's the mic.
I've never heard that before. That is so awesome.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
Hey, this is exciting.
Patty, we're exciting. So excited to be here with you.
This is
thank
a good
you.
Thing. This is telling me a good thing. Is this you guys taking over tonight? Yeah. You're getting married in a couple days.
That was going to be my good thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. 13, I didn't mean to ruin it.
13 days, yeah.
But isn't really the good thing that Steve Bertrand and Bill Leff are going to like have some sort of white tights around a pole or something?
That? Yeah, yes. That's still to be determined about if that's happening.
I would pay for that. Whatever it is, I'm all in on that. I'll double down.
I don't know if I want that kind of spectacle at my wedding, though. I don't know.
It detracts from everything else.
You know, it might be too much sexy.
It might be a lot of sexy. It's a lot of sexy. Mm-hmm. Michael Heidemann, tell me something good.
Just being here with you, Patty. I got to spend the night with my brother at the Blink-182 concert. A little throwback there.
Hey.
So that was really good, and I had a really great time. And, of course, being here with Kevin, you know, getting to do sound sessions is fantastic as well.
Yes, tell everyone about sound sessions, which is also available all the time on WGNplus.com.
Yeah, we do art, like long-form artist interviews, bands and artists that are coming through Chicago. We do ticket giveaways for concerts, concert reviews, photos, festivals, yada, yada, yada.
It all, like all of your music information and knowledge should come from us as we are the voice of Chicago music here at Sound Sessions.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so let's say that somebody doesn't know music, but they like music.
Mm-hmm.
How do they learn? I mean, you know, I've gone to the Elbow Room. I've gone to a lot of the neighborhood bars. Where's your favorite place to go see a band that people have never heard of that they should know?
The Lincoln Hall.
Oh, there you go.
It's a great venue. It sounds great. They just did everything right there. The food's good. The drinks are good. And it's, the music they get in there, the bands they get in there are typically top-notch, in my opinion.
Absolutely. That place is fantastic. Also, the Double Door, which is sadly closing in February, is...
God, so get so there.
...is going to be one of my favorite spots.
Why are they closing?
Eviction, actually.
It's, are they going to open somewhere else?
To be determined, I think.
Yeah, Chicago does not mess around, especially when it comes to closing music venues, it seems like lately. So, make sure you get there before February 11th.
Oh, my head hurts. I didn't know the Double Door was closing.
Oh, yeah. February is their last show, I believe.
So, what do you have any guests coming on tonight?
We do. We're going to be talking with Mr. Kevin Powell coming up at 2:30.
I wasn't wrong. I'm sorry, but I didn't say Richter.
Well, it's there's a lot of Kevins here.
Yes.
I get your confusion.
All the Kevins.
And plus, we get confused for each other all the time.
That's right.
Do you really?
Yes.
Who are those people?
Somebody came up to you and asked when you were getting married, right, Michael?
Yeah. An unmentioned name, member of the sales department, especially, often comes up to me.
Look,
says,
you're on a boat. There's a lot of waves. There's drinks. What are you going to do? It's confusing.
I get congratulated on my wedding at least like four times a day. So one day I hoped that it comes true.